This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Hello and welcome to the Betting Weekly English Championship show on the BetRivers Network. I'm your host, George Ellick, and I am joined by Jack Wright as we look ahead to all of the EFL action this weekend. Three picks each from the Championship, one from League One and one from League Two. And also remember that you can also follow the Twitter handle at Because We Win, where you get all the sports handicappers on the network up there as well, posting their tips. Hi, mate.
Hello. I
feel like I've spent all week with you. We had a midweek show and we're going into Thursday. So the dust has just settled after the midweek action. Yeah. How did you get on?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I was going to say it's like seems only like yesterday we were talking about this midweek round of games and they've already been and gone and done. So, yeah, I didn't do overly well. I'll be brutally honest this week. I've got I only got one out of the four picks, unfortunately. So Reading did us the dirty last night, getting soundly thrashed by Sunderland. Reading fans quiet in your inbox or?
Yeah, haven't heard from any. It also helped that there was a video of me tipping up Sunderland last night as well, which was handy. So, you know, yeah.
Excellent stuff. Mm. Yeah. Baggies fell a corner short, unfortunately, on that one. And that's I picked up a winner from the night before, obviously Plymouth, which was excellent. So yeah, good.
Good stuff.
How about you?
Yeah. Well, not quite as good. Annoyingly, Wigan was the one winner. I thought I was going to get a push with the Sutton drawing a bet at Swindon, but a 93rd minute goal scuppered me. I can only apologise to the viewers and the listeners for the Middlesbrough 2-0 tip. When you backed a team to win 2-0 and they're 3-0 down at half time, there isn't really much you can do than just accept that in every punter's life you're going to have some bets that are absolutely heinous, and that was one of my ones. So hopefully we can put things right ahead of the weekend, well, this weekend in the games. Should we get into it?
Let's do it. Yeah, so we've had a bit of bad variance, I think, over the last two or three weeks. That will swing in our favour, so we'll keep going. We trust the process, as they say.
Trust the process. What is your first tip?
I'm going to go for a very nice local derby, Birmingham City versus Coventry. And bet I'm playing here is both teams to score at odds of -130. A great win for Birmingham last night. I mentioned it very briefly just a moment ago. Away at West Brom and piling the pressure on Steve Bruce. And at time of recording, I think he's still in a job, but I think it's getting close. But more of West Brom later. Birmingham, good. A very good week for them. Back-to-back away wins. Managed to get a win against Preston. And a good win last night, scoring three goals. Hogan with a hat-trick last night. It's lifted them up to 14th, which is the craziness of the Championship, of course. Get a string of results together and you'll suddenly see yourself shooting up the league table. But I managed to catch the last 20 minutes of it, actually, just to see how things were going, because obviously I did have a tip going in that one, which was the corners, which unfortunately fell one short. Very disappointing from West Brom. But I say Birmingham did the job. Looked lively. Looks like the front two's working pretty well together with Hogan and Deeney. So the three goals there, which obviously for part of this bet is fantastic. And the fact they let in two as well is also fantastic, because we are looking at both teams to score. So they've conceded in every single home game this season, which is a nice point when we're looking at that bet, because you obviously want your home team to be a little bit leaky, and they've certainly done that. They'll be looking to take a little bit of form from their away form now. So a couple of wins into their home form, having won on that opening outing at St Andrews and not since. So obviously welcome a Coventry side who are still bottom. Picked up a good point last night at Luton, showed some good resilience, went behind twice and managed to fight back and pick up a point, which certainly didn't make Nathan Jones very happy. I know we've talked about Nathan Jones and his feistiness before. And if anyone who hasn't seen it yet, worth having a little look online just to see his reaction to the fact that he didn't get a penalty late in the game when, to be fair, it was a fantastic save from Kyle McFadzean from Coventry. And those of you not aware of the Coventry side, he isn't their goalkeeper. He's a centre-half who full stretch, two-handed save to tip it around the post and corner given. But there we go. You got to feel a bit sorry for the Sky Blues. They've still only played one home game this season, unbelievably. Obviously, unfortunately, because of the games being postponed across the board last weekend, that was due to be one of their home games. And obviously, at the start of the season, they missed out because of their pitch being unplayable. So still only one, which gives them a little bit of a false position as far as they are bottom of the table, played less games than everyone else. And like I say, only one home game. So, this is probably as close as it comes to a home game for them, one being a very close City rival, but also they did play their home games here a couple of seasons ago, so they will know the confines of the St Andrews pitch nearly as well as the hosts here, which should mean we get another benefit as far as looking for this both teams to score bet is concerned. But Birmingham have seen both teams to score in three of their four home games. Coventry has seen both teams to score in four of their five away games. The one they didn't score in was Norwich, and they certainly should have done that game. One, because they had a bit of a contentious goal ruled out for offside, and then also a couple of very, very much gilt-edged chances that they failed up. This ended 4-2 to Coventry last season. It was 2-2 at half-time. We'll take more of that, more of the same there. So, Coventry, Luton, both teams scored, landed inside 11 minutes last night. So again, lots of form pointing towards this being a nice high-scoring affair. Both teams to score at -130 is the selection.
Lovely stuff. Yeah, I looked at goals in that game as well, so I'm fully on board with your selection.
Good.
But I decided to let you have it. My first tip. Well, it's interesting, but you mentioned the Reading-Sunderland game, and I'm getting involved in both the Reading game and the Sunderland game. But we'll start maybe with Watford-Sunderland. I'm backing Sunderland plus a quarter in the Asian handicap here. So half your bet is a winner if it's a draw, half of it is void. Full winner if Sunderland do win the game at +118. Basically, just really impressed with Sunderland. Not just in the game that we saw them against Reading. If you haven't watched the highlights of the Sunderland Reading game, make sure you do, because in my opinion, one of the best goals I've ever seen was scored. The third goal from Jack Clark. Have you seen it?
I have seen it, yeah.
I think it's one of the best goals I've ever seen. I think I'm launching...
Strong statement, ever
I've
seen.
I've done it on social media today and on another podcast. I am launching a Puskas Award campaign for Jack Clark. It's the award for the most aesthetically pleasing goal scored in the world in a year. Everything about it, from the fact that it starts with the goalkeeper rolling out to the centre-back, to the deft touches and flicks on the right-hand side, to the cross from Dan Neal, and then the unbelievable first touch from Clark.
That was great, wasn't it?
Before he puts it in the corner. I like unique goals. I don't care about seeing someone smash the ball into the top corner from 30 yards. We see it every week. Give me interesting, fun, technically gifted, unique goals. And that's what I'm after. So do go back and watch it. But for the most part, Sunderland were great on the day. You mentioned, and I agreed with you at the time, that the loss of Ross Stewart was a big blow. They also lost Ellis Sims at 0-0 yesterday in the first half to injury. So their two main strikers were out, which meant they had Jack Clark, Patrick Roberts, and Elliot Embleton, because Embleton came on for Sims, who are three very technically gifted, low centre of gravity, small, little nippy attackers. And they just rang rings around Reading for the whole game, effectively. Robert scored twice, two great goals late in the first half. And then that Clark goal made it 3-0. It was a resounding win. Things couldn't really have started better for Tony Mowbray. Yes, they got beaten above Borough, but there was no harm in that defeat. And it feels like, for all that Sunderland owed Alex Neil for their promotion, I don't think any of their fans would want him back now, frankly. He severed ties with them. They think he's a snake, and they are happy with their new man, Mogga, in charge anyway. They dominated possession against Reading. Reading very happy to let them have it. But I think here against a Watford side who look really toothless, who come into this off the back of a 2-0 loss to Blackburn, but not just a 2-0 loss, but a 2-0 thrashing, to be honest. They went to Rovers. Blackburn, one of the data outliers this season so far, where the numbers they posted have been really, really poor, and they absolutely battered Watford. It was a really bad performance, and I can see here Sunderland causing Watford some real issues. We've seen Sunderland do that to other good teams so far this season as well. And I think Sunderland are proving themselves to be a very decent, you know, top half championship side, in my view. Yes, they do. They are going to miss those strikers, but I think they've got enough talent at their disposal and enough going into this game that they're overpriced. I think Watford are way too short. I think things might get worse before they get better at Watford. There's some talk about Rob Edwards' job being under threat. I hope that's not the case. I hope he's given enough time.
At Watford, what?
I know. I mean, the suggestion seems to be that the talk is just talk, and actually Watford are still keen to at least try and change the culture at the club, but we'll see. I mean, the proof will be in the pudding with that one, just eight games into the season. But yeah, I think Sunderland are well overpriced. Their fans will, you know, fancy a second trip down south in a week, and we'll think that they can come back to the Stadium of Light again with something to show for it. So a fair odds against a +118. I think Sunderland on the Asian is the way I'm playing this, plus a quarter. What's your second pick?
Second pick is Burnley versus Bristol City here. And I've kind of added more into this one than just the both teams to score. So more goals. We're going for a cult best weekend. And it's over 2.5 goals and both teams to score at +107. So plus money here, which kind of made my eyes light up a little bit. Having watched 90 minutes plus of Bristol City last night, I can't imagine this bet not landing. Absolutely great fun to watch. It's the first time I've seen a full 90 minutes of Bristol City this season, and I wasn't disappointed. In fact, I was very relieved. they other than probably the first 15, 20 minutes, they absolutely dominated that game last night. Very unfortunate, for those unaware, they played Norwich at Norwich last night and were unfortunate to come away empty-handed. If it wasn't for defensive errors, then they certainly would have done. And it was interesting to hear Nigel Pearson talking about the game last night. And saying that they felt that they probably showed, well, he said showed a bit too much respect, and then he tried to think of another word for it and he couldn't. But I think they just kind of stood off a little bit initially and gave the initiative to Norwich. And so a couple of really poor defensive errors meant they were facing a mountain to climb at 2-0 down. But that's why we love Bristol City, especially away from home. Those defensive errors, those mistakes and the open play that they have, just does give sides an opportunity. And Burnley have obviously got some good talent in forward areas, so I'd expect them to take advantage of that. The likes of Teller and Rodriguez at this level will score goals. They have done obviously so far as well. So we should see that. But so the bet really is mainly about Bristol City and say how open they play. 32 goals scored in 9 games so far this season is a league high. Their away games have seen 21 goals in the league, 30 in all competitions. That's an average of 4.29 goals per game, which is an incredible, incredible stat. Like I said, the talent they've got going forward, if it wasn't against my team, it was a joy to watch. But to be fair, I enjoyed the game. I expected to enjoy the game with Dominic.
It's easy from 2-0 up, isn't it?
Well, it wasn't. That's the thing, yeah. So, you know what? It was just, you could see it's coming. It weren't like any surprise at all. They say scored just before half time and then came out the second half and did the same thing. Semenyo looked a real threat when he came on. He was limited to, again, time off the bench. This is now his fourth goal, I think, all coming off the bench. The trouble I think Pearson's got is who does he drop to get him back, to get him in the side? He'll probably drop a defender knowing him as things stand at the moment. But Conway didn't offer loads, but offered a goal, which is Price's commodity, of course. Naki Wells was much the same. Lively, we know his work's done between the posts. Some good talent in behind. And so when Semenya came on, he was causing all kinds of problems and got his goal as well. So much talent going forward, lots of creativity, errors thrown in at the back as well. Sorry, Burnley fans, I haven't said much about you in this because I say it is mainly about Bristol City and how they're playing and what they offer. Bristol City both seems to score in all 5 away games so far this season and over 2.5 in 4 of those 5 as well. Burnley both seems to score in 3 or 4 at home. So, as I said, expecting lots of action at both ends. Bristol City will certainly go front foot. They'll definitely go and try and be toe-to-toe. I think the takeaway from me was that Nigel Pearson pretty much said that he was only disappointed that they kind of let Norwich have some initiative early on. A very comparable game going to Burnley as it was going to Norwich. So I'd expect him to drum that into him over in the next sort of 24 hours before they have to go again to say, let's go from the first whistle this time. Expecting another cracking game. Both teams to score over 2.5 goals. plus money. Happy days.
I've got a bet in the same game, and it is back to the well. It is back to the Naki Wells after getting exotic and trying to get Ozan Tufan to score midweek. What was I thinking? I am putting up Naki Wells to score here at plus 300 anytime. And part of it is because exactly what you're saying, Bristol City, you know what you're going to get. And I always think a good bit of betting theory is you look through the cards, you look for sides who are big outsiders, but who are, you know, high scoring, high variance teams. And in Bristol City, you've got a side, I wouldn't necessarily bat them to win the game, but you know exactly what you're going to get in terms of their output. And because it's the Championship, it means that all of their players are all too big a price to score because they're being priced up based on the goal line and the fact that they're outsiders for the game. And that, you know, Burnley are, you know, what are they, minus Burnley are. I mean, they're heavy odds on. Yeah, minus 167. So the you know, the goal scorer price is based off that rather than the actual Bristol City goal line. We know how many chances they create. Again, it was a case of picking on price rather than anything else. Tommy Conway, who's been in such great form, is a bigger price than Wells. But I think Wells is the one who, you know, again, yesterday he had three shots in the game, came to kind of 0.3 of a goal XG. I think he is still the likely one who would take a penalty. I think if Antoine Semenyo hadn't scored that second Bristol City goal, they would have been given a penalty, and it would have been very interesting to see who'd stepped up to take it. And I just think he's their biggest goal threat. And you know, he plays 90 every game as well. Weimann is playing a more withdrawn role, so he shouldn't be shorter than Wells, which he is. Semenyo is even shorter than them. And I assume he still have to come off the bench because I don't know who they're going to drop. So, I've got it. It's the third time I put up Naki Wells to score any time. The first time it won. The second time the game was postponed. Let's hope for we're back on the winning course, because I do agree with you. It should be a high scoring game where I expect Burnley to cause Bristol City big problems and Bristol City to cause Burnley big problems as well. So Naki Wells plus 300 to score any time is my second selection. Third and final in the Championship, Jack.
Yeah, I'm going to Norwich versus West Brom, and over 2.5 goals in this one at minus 125. Two sides that I have seen a lot of course. And, you know, the talk of Norwich really is they were fortunate. You know, obviously, and I talked about that particular game, Bristol City, and they were fortunate. They've effectively done to Bristol City what happened to Norwich in the Premier League a lot last season, is that Bristol City made two or three mistakes, two defensive errors. Timu Pukki back is kind of ruthless best, both one-on-one with a goalkeeper. Never looked really any doubt that he wasn't going to score. Very nice, neat finish for his first, flicked it over the keeper and headed it in. And the second one, they sent through a little bit of deflection to help him on the way. But a typical Pukki finish, really, a typical run and finish from him that we've seen so many times in the Championship. So he's back up and running. Slight concern, he did go off and straight down a tunnel, so he might have picked up an injury. In honestly, although he's scoring goals, I don't think that would be a massive blow, certainly for this bet, purely because it would mean that they'd bring Sargent in, who's been playing out on the wide right, and would go more central. Obviously, still scored his goal last night, so sixth goal of the season for him now. So it's on fire. And so that was the other thing where they scored from a set piece. So their first corner of the game and punished Bristol City from that. So fortunate winners. But the one thing that was alarming again was their defensive errors. Made so many terrible suicidal passes. Three times that I can think of in the first half where literally it was as if they were colorblind. It was a direct straight pass to Conway was the first one on the edge of the area. I think he was so surprised that it'd been slipped in that he kind of snatched his shot a little bit. But the defensive errors are still there. They're not getting punished quite so ruthless as they were last season. But the fact that they're there is alarming. But still look a threat going forward, and especially when they get the noses in front and bring other sides out, they do look dangerous on the counter attack. And they've got, as I've said before, a big deep squad that they can call on and some real game changers off the bench, especially as legs get a little bit tired. And the one thing I'd say about West Brom is they're not really going to be able to go to Carrow Road and sit deep and kind of have a low block. There will be more front foot, so we should see that as far as Norwich is concerned, being able to kind of exploit that on the counter, especially with West Brom's terrible defensive record at the moment, where again they conceded the first goal last night. It's now seven times in nine games that they've conceded the opening goal, and leaving themselves a mountain to climb. It's just to say the same old story from them. It's terrible. Watch, say, the last 20 minutes of the game last night, and the fans are turning. Obviously, I think they're quite fortunate they've got an away game now, so they're not going to be under that kind of spotlight. But Steve Bruce labelled their defending similar to that of an under-11 side. And I could see where he's coming from, especially with the third goal, where it effectively was the red carpet was rolled out for Hogan to go and complete his hat trick. So issues with goalkeeping, issues at the back defensively. I'm not really sure where they're going to be able to rotate that round to make it too much of this talk about bringing some kind of kids in. Not the best kind of way to throw them into the mix either. But in the nature of this bet, absolutely. So much talent going forward. And again, Jed Wallace does look their best player at this moment. He scored again last night. Lots of creativity from him, lots of endeavour, lots of hard work. He's drifting in from that right-hand side and getting very central. I think he's going to have a lot of joy this weekend. Norwich's issues are well-known at left-back. They've had three left-backs injured this season. Sam Byram's back from a very long injury and is injury-prone over the last few years and was suffering from cramp. We think, at the end of the game. So wouldn't be a surprise to see this game come too soon for him, which would then mean someone like Kenny McLean going in filling at left back. And when that's up against West Brom's most dangerous outlet and their biggest threat, that's not a good mix. So I expect a big game from Wallace. I wouldn't be surprised to see him on the score sheet or at least get an assist. But I looked at how to play the goals in this game and I thought over 2.5 is the right way, because it wouldn't surprise me, as weird as this might seem on the back of Norwich winning 6 on the spin, if West Brom turned up and won this one like 3-0. They've got the forward players to cause the issues. Norwich are making those defensive errors, like I said, for them to get chances. Equally, the way West Brom are playing and defending at the moment, Norwich can go and win this 3-0 as well. So leaving the both teams to score situation out of it, although it wouldn't surprise me if that happened. And I say 2.5 goals is the bet for me at -125.
Lovely stuff. Overs there. Final bet for me is Wigan to beat Reading at -106. Sorry, Reading fans. Reading's away form this season has been abject. They've won one of their four games. That came in a bit of a smash and grab against Millwall, but they've actually lost two of their away games 4-0. Once against Sheffield United, no shame in that. Once against Rotherham, a fair bit of shame in that. So when you factor in those 4-0 defeats, then a 3-0 loss at home to Sunderland, I, you know, they're a massive Jekyll and Hyde fan, Jekyll and Hyde team. There's no denying that Paul Ince has them set up to sit incredibly deep, has no interest in ball retention at all. And I think if it works and they manage to get their noses in front, they're hard to break down. If it doesn't work, then they have no real way of stopping the scoreline from getting bad, because as soon as they step out of their shape, they are picked off so easily. In Wigan, you've got a team who, you know, they were well beaten at home themselves, 5-1 by Burnley a few weeks ago. But in Liam Richardson, you know, I think there's a vast gap in my mind between Liam Richardson and Paul Ince in terms of tactic, of the way we're seeing them set up tactically. They come to this into this game off the back of two back-to-back away wins against Luton and Huddersfield, two playoff teams from last season. And their home form, whilst they haven't won at home yet this season in the Championship, they have, you know, they've only been beaten once. They've picked up points against Bristol City, West Brom and Preston, three stronger teams than we're seeing here. There was some plus money going around earlier. I've missed that, sadly, but it's only a shade of odds against. And I'm fairly confident here that you know, Reading will have to improve markedly for Wigan not to be, you know, a decent bet at that price. I can see Wigan, they should, I think, be the better team and pick them off fairly easily. But Reading have made a fool of me before, and it wouldn't be a surprise if they do it again. So we'll have to see how that gets on. So those are the three.
Not anymore.
No, we'll see. As I keep saying, I did have a look at the relegation price again this morning, but they're quite short still. So yeah, not getting involved. Other games in the Championship this weekend. The early game on Saturday, Swansea hosting Hull. Swansea -137, Hull in a really poor bit of form, +320. We have covered those. Huddersfield +155, Cardiff +165, a trappy affair there. Luton +115, Blackburn +215 is another Championship game. Preston hosting Sheffield United, Preston +215, Sheffield United plus 116. I'd be wary. Blades not looking quite themselves. They're picking up results, but their away performance is definitely not as good as their home performances so far this season.
Ketchup bowl still intact.
Yeah, just about. It's going to happen soon. QPR plus 125, hosting Stoke at plus 190. Millwall, yeah, should be very good, that, I'd have thought. Millwall just odds against minus 109. They were poor in midweek in a defeat to QPR against Blackpool, who also come off the back of a 3-0 loss there, plus 270. A final one, I think that's it. Is it? No, Middlesbrough hosting Rotherham as well. Middlesbrough plus minus 182, Rotherham plus 430. How Chris Wilder needs a win there. I'm sure Rotherham will make that very, very awkward for him to do so. A tip each in League One and League Two. You've got a League One selection, so we'll start with yours.
We did. We had a frantic arm wrestle about who was going to go League One and League Two. And of course, you overpowered me easily. And so I've gone for a League One pick. But what a fantastic weekend in League One. There's some amazing games here. And we've talked offline about, you know, how good they are. We've got Bolton versus Peterborough, which is 5th v 7th. We've got Portsmouth versus Plymouth, which is 2nd v 3rd. Sheffield Wednesday versus Ipswich, which is 4th v 1st. It's like obviously the top four all playing each other. It's more like kind of the playoffs than a regular season fixture list at the moment. But all means that completely steering well clear of trying to predict who's going to win, draw or lose these games this weekend. In fact, I'm even avoiding the goals lines as well. So I'm going to go for my trusted corners method. And I think I found a way in to play a game in League One, which was a bit of a minefield, to say the least. I'm going for Derby versus Wickham. Over 9.5 corners in the game at odds of minus 136. Brief outline of where we're as far as the teams are concerned. Back-to-back defeats for Derby have seen them slide down to 13th in the table, albeit that's just 2 points off the playoffs. So, say the crazy nature of League One, obviously nice and tight as it is. Wickham, now 4 unbeaten. They won 1-0 at home to Accrington midweek, which has moved them level on points to the Rams, but a few places further up the table. But as I said, the focus here is on corners. And the main thing I liked about this bet is the contrast in styles that we've got between the two sides, which is something that I look for when I'm playing in the corners market, something that's going to allow both these sides playing the way they play to then actually win corners and get them at both ends. We've got Derby, who like to keep the ball. They're ranked 2nd in the league as far as possession is concerned, with 59% of the ball. Wickham, happy to let the opponents have it, which is good. We can let Derby have it here. 43% of the ball for them across the season. Only 4 sides actually have less ball retention than Wickham, which should say result in corners here. Derby are ranked 3rd in the league for crosses into the box at 23 per game. Again, another factor which will result in plenty of corners as those balls get flung in. And as far as Wickham are concerned, they're ranked 3rd in the league for long balls. 84 long balls per game is their average. So nice and direct. Again, the same kind of thing. They'll flip the possession over quite quickly and look to attack and win corners themselves. That way, let's look at the actual corner stats, which are quite interesting. Derby at home, we've seen the total match corners hit 10 on 2 occasions and 11 on 2 occasions. So 4 out of 4 there, crossing the line that we need of 10 plus. 7 of 8 in total games this season have seen over 9.5 corners. So they rank 2nd in the league as far as average is concerned, 12.88. their corner average. As far as Wickham are concerned, their away games have seen 11, 12 twice and 14. So 4 out of 4 for them as well. And 7 out of 8 as far as their corners are concerned. In total, 4th in the league, average of 12.13. So all the stats would point here towards us getting that line crossed at 10 plus at odds of minus 136.
Lovely stuff. Found a good angle there in League One. I'm looking at League Two. Gillingham hosts Mansfield, and I'm back in the away side here. Mansfield at plus 107. I went to go and see Gillingham play with my own eyes on Tuesday night away at Grimsby. They're 1-0 down pretty early on. Glenn Morris, their keeper, spilling a ball into Ryan Taylor's path. They equalised from a set piece after that, but they were pretty poor. I mean, they had 2 disallowed goals. They were very in open play. They looked like they could play for hours and not score, to be honest. And they have done. And they'd only scored 1 goal in 7 games prior to that. They now scored 2 in 8. And they're up against the Mansfield side, who I really rate. You know, if I was to have a bet now in the futures market in League Two, it would 100% be Mansfield. Under Nigel Clough, they are at the very best, sorry, the very worst, they are solid. At the best, they are very good indeed. They've won four of their last six games in all comps. In League Two alone, they've won three of their last five. In midweek, they had a 0-0 draw against Carlisle, who are themselves a decent side. But their wins against Doncaster, Stockport, AFC Wimbledon, you know, these are better sides than Gillingham, and they've done it cozily as well. The fact they're away from home, I think in my mind, only gives us a better price. Their away form is well, it was poor, but they went and beat Doncaster 3-1, putting an end to their run of defeats on the road. And if that's the reason why we're getting a big price, I'm basically happy to take it. They maybe lack a goal scorer. You know, that's the one criticism we maybe level at them, but it doesn't mean that they lack goals at all. With Ollie Clark, George Maris, George Lapsley, plenty of quality in behind, and Lucas Aiken's generally playing up front, who runs the line well, even if he's not particularly prolific. But yeah, they are just a very good side who, you know, last season got into the playoff final, and I have no doubt they will be there or thereabouts again. Whereas for Neil Harris's Gillingham, it's been a really, really disappointing start to the season. And I don't see why they would improve too much without a change of personnel in their team to be able to challenge Mansfield. So at odds against them, I'm very happy to take on Mansfield as my League Two selection. There we have it. Another preview to our Saturday picks. Jack, any last thoughts before we let the listeners and viewers move on?
No, it's a really exciting weekend ahead. So as always, nice to have picks all kicking off at the same time, in the UK, Saturday, 3 p.m. kickoffs, as far as the US is concerned, that's 10 a.m. Eastern time. So get plenty of time to get the bets on, get them on, and then we can cheer them all on at the same time. Something special about that kickoff time for sure. I'm off to Norwich versus West Brom, of course. So I'll be able to cheer the goals on, hopefully at one end rather than the other. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Should be a good game. And say Steve Bruce in charge at the moment. But
will he be on Sunday morning?
What happens? It will be. That's right. Yeah. Norwich have got a bit of a hoodoo for managers over the last year, season or so. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, absolutely. Definitely looking forward to it.
Great stuff. Cheers, Jack. We will. Well, we'll see if we're back next week. There is an international break, so we'll have to have a chat in house and see if we can come back and give you a League One or League Two preview. So do keep your eyes peeled, and you'll find that if we do manage to do it on the Bet Rivers Network YouTube channel. So make sure you subscribe to that. Do comment below with any feedback you've got for us. So always up for some feedback. If there's anything you want us to go through in future or explain, or want to criticize us or ideally praise us, do let us know in the comments box. And do follow us on any podcast platform as well. You can listen to all of these shows across the network on as a podcast and leave a review there. That would be fantastic. Follow the @BecauseWeWin Twitter handle to follow all the different sports handicappers on the network as well. Enjoy the football. Thank you for viewing or watching or listening or however you are watching this right now or listening to us. And do join us again when we are back. And as is always the case, please ensure that you're gambling responsibly.